Checky check check. Alright, good. Something's working. This time, I'm going to attempt not to sound like I'm dying. As much as I know that makes some of you happy. The thought of me dying, I mean. I'm also going to attempt not to spill hot tea on the keyboard. I think I'll even turn on the light in here so I can actually see to read. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass, that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. That's how it goes down, people. I know I should have given you a trigger warning, but that's how it is, right? I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 years. This is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. Homes in on and destroys stupid fucking statists. All around the world, doesn't matter what kind of statist you are, you could be a motherfucking femistatist, a statheist, a tranny statist, a homo statist, a Jew statist, black statist, white statist, yellow statist, red statist, brown statist, you can be a left-wing statist, a right-wing statist. I do not give a fuck what kind of statist you are. In a fucking world, in the world of Ancapidice, where natural selection reigns, you will be a dead statist. Because no statist can survive natural selection. You can't do it. That's why you need the state, because you know that if there were no state there to protect you, you would be dead. There's no way in hell you could feed yourself. You couldn't figure out how to motherfucking use electricity without dying. You couldn't figure out how to drive down a motherfucking road. Oh wait, there wouldn't be any roads. If there were no government, there'd be no roads, because you wouldn't be smart enough to make a motherfucking flat place on the ground. That's how goddamn stupid you are. I am the great one himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I'm drinking hot mint tea right now. It is delicious. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. She looks hot as hell. She's wearing a short skirt, the way she should, the way women should, except for the ugly ones, ugly chicks. What are those things? Burkas? Whatever, the Muslims, the big tents. That ugly women should wear those. Attractive women should wear short skirts. You know we're not living in a patriarchy because fat women are allowed to, well, be alive. But I was going to say fat women are allowed to go out in public wearing skimpy clothing. If we truly lived in a patriarchal society where evil heterosexual white men who work for a living actually controlled everything, I promise you fat women would not be walking around revealing their fat. And in fact, fat women would not even exist, because if heterosexual white men who have jobs actually ran the society, there would be no welfare, no food stamps, and thus there would be natural selection, and thus fat people, for the most part, would not exist. They'd all be dead. However, we don't have natural selection. We don't have Ancapidice. We have the state. We have food stamps. We have welfare. We have femistatism. We have the book called Datanomics, How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game, written by John Berger, however you pronounce his name. I can't pronounce it. I'm continuing the tradition of not saying his last name so I don't embarrass myself. Birger is how it's spelled. Datanomics, How Dating Became a Lopsided Numbers Game. Again, basically, it is a book about how men need to go to college and make more money so as they can become good enough for women over the age of 40 who are unmarried and have children and spent their entire lives working on their career and their education can now get men to marry them, because if there's these women deserve to have men marry them because they are older women, and women should just have things given to them. And among those things, it includes if a woman decides when she's 40 years old and she's got her three kids and she's single and if she wants a man to marry her, she should have a man to marry her. What men want does not enter into the picture. Right? It doesn't matter what men want. Men exist for no reason other than to provide women with whatever women desire in the moment. That's, men have no purpose of their own, no desires of their own, no function of their own, no course of their own. No, we're just here to do what women want. And there's all these beautiful, intelligent, attractive, funny, personable 40-year-old women who are single mothers, and they want to get married now. And the fact that you men are not manning up and marrying these women, well, shows how incredibly fucking selfish you are, how hateful you are, how racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK you are. And you can send us email. The email address here is God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at cynlibsoc.com. Of course, we're on the interwebs at cynlibsoc.com and on the Twitterverse until Anita Sarkeesian cancels my account at cynlibsoc. Let's continue with the book. We're on page 83. Randy, what do we... Alright, it can wait. The Linux laptop is finished compiling, just so you know. Yes. Yes, I ran a dep clean. Mm-hmm. The kernel's updated. Yep. So I'm thinking, too, I don't think we need to do anything else with it. Well, other than back it up. But, yeah, we'll do that later. So it can just sit there. Nobody gives a shit. The viewers. The listeners. Listeners, like, we don't give a shit about your fucking computer. Talk. Make fun of women. Okay, I'm getting there. Page 83, after the break, to the last full paragraph of page 84. We're on page 83. You would think... Oh my God. And I really am, and... The previous podcast in this series... Oh, by the way, this is part 4 in a series. If you just showed up, this is part 4. You need to go back, listen to the previous 3 editions of Stating the Obvious. Part 3 was pretty rough. I thought I was going to die. I'm going to attempt not to die this time around. And yeah, I just felt a little out of it. Which happens, and so if you suffered through part 3, I apologize for the quality of that, but as you know... The process here is that I record the fucking episode as if it's live radio, and I have to fucking suck it up and deal with it. And sometimes there's a shitty episode that gets out, and God, I know it. Oh, see, I'm not a woman. I have self-awareness. See, I'm not. See, this now. This is what I'm talking about. This is where, oh, God, everybody just shut the fuck up and stand back, because I am on a roll. You see, my friends, I'm not a 42-year-old. Single mother of 3 kids by 2 different baby daddies who has $120,000 worth of college debt and has spent my entire life trying to fucking backstab and fuck my way up through the HR department and now suddenly can't figure out why men, quality men who have good jobs and good educations and make lots of money, can't figure out why quality men don't want to marry me. That's called lacking self-awareness. And it is a... It's not... I'm not saying. I am not saying only women have this problem. not saying that. No. The number of men who lack self-awareness is right on par with the number of women. But this book is not about men who can't find women to marry them. It's about women who can't find men to marry them. We're talking about women today. If you want to insult, degrade, attack heterosexual white men who work for a living, or even men in general, there's ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, there's HBO, Showtime, there's Netflix, there's every movie. Okay, if you want to attack men, there's Anita Sarkeesian, there's that other little fat, blonde, bouncy cunt, the ones who are real totalitarian. And there's no such thing as a difference between a male brain and a female brain. I know this because I'm fat and I'm on YouTube and I have a piece of metal stuck in my nose. If you want to insult, degrade, attack men, there's an entire fucking world out there that's doing that. You can go over there. Right here. Right in this fucking... This is my fucking section of the cosmos. Right here. Okay? We're talking about women. We're not talking about men today. Are there a lot of men who don't have self-awareness? You're goddamn right there are. And I know a bunch of them. But I don't know any man who sits around and says, I don't know why women don't want to go out with me. Because almost every man has at least this tiny amount of self-awareness. They understand the reason women don't want to go out with them is because they're fat and they play video games all day and they still live with their mom and they work at Pizza Hut. And men understand women are not attracted to fat guys. Women are not attracted to men who live with their parents. Women are not attracted to men who don't have a lot of money to spend on women, right? And if you work at Pizza Hut and you live with your parents and you don't have a car, it's obvious to a woman you don't have the amount of money she needs you to have in order for you to be suitable for her to latch onto and to parasite off of. Now, she may very well fuck you. Because remember, there's one of my favorite E. Jean letters from way back. I keep bringing this one back up because it's burned into my memory because it was so great. Right? The woman wrote in to E. Jean and said, Dear E. Jean, I'm engaged to this man and he's rich and he's wealthy and he bought me a car and he bought me a big diamond ring and we're going to get married and it's wonderful. But I'm having sex with an unemployed guy who lives at home with his parents and has a bunch of student debt. And I'm confused and I don't know what to do. And that's the female brain right there. Okay. She's going to fuck the unemployed alpha male who lives with his parents. Because somehow in the female brain, being unemployed, living with your parents and having a lot of debt, somehow translates into, ooh, I should really fuck him and get his sperm up in my cunt and maybe make a baby. But the rich guy who can afford to buy her a diamond ring and a car, she's not sexually attracted to him, but she's going to marry him anyway because he's going to pay for stuff. He's going to give her the free resources. And this is important. And again, this is not evil. This is biology. Women want to stay alive. Their number one priority is continuing to live. Okay? How do you continue to live? When you're small, your father and your mother take care of you and keep you alive. But at some point, they get tired of putting up with your shit because you were a teenager for so many years and you're lucky they didn't fucking kill you. So now you need to find a new person to leech off of. That's called boyfriend or husband or concubine or live-in or fuck buddy or whatever it is this week, right? And you need that person to be somebody who has enough resources to buy all the things you need to stay alive, like hairspray, makeup, push-up bras, new clothing, new shoes, all that stuff. But at the same time, eventually that person is going to die. The person is going to die before you are, because men die before women, because, you know, women are really oppressed, and that's why they live longer. That's another form of the patriarchy. See, the patriarchy, we all got together, we heterosexual white men who work for a living, we all got, God damn it, I am so fucking good today. We all got together and we decided that we were going to force women to live longer than men on the average as a form of punishment, right? That's just another way we have of oppressing you and keeping you down. So you're going to live longer than us. So that means when your husband, concubine, host, fuck buddy, boyfriend, whatever it's called this week, dies, you need another man to take his place, providing you with free stuff. And of course, your father's already dead. And that's why you need children, at least one male child. Now, to get your children, you want your children to be sissies, wussies, Nancy boys, right? I mean, it's all good for you to support transvestitism and all this other shit, but you don't want your child to be a transvestite. You want your child to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, so the child makes enough money to continue providing you with all the free things you want when you're old. That requires that your child be an alpha male type. You don't get alpha male sperm from the beta male provider that you married. You get alpha male sperm from alpha males. Prisoners, people who live with their parents, you know, this is why women are so attracted to jobs like social workers. Because you're dealing with these violent men who beat their wives and all this other stuff. And remember, the female brain cannot distinguish the difference between a confident, or let me put it this way, between confident aggression, like Richard Branson is confident aggression, right? He accomplishes things. He's made all this money. He gets shits done. Bill Gates, confident aggression. What's that dickhead? Steve Jobs. Confident aggression and violent aggression, like rapist, murderers, you know, Nelson Mandela, people like that. Yes, Nelson Mandela was a terrorist, by the way, just for if you don't know that. So the female brain can't tell the difference between a man who is confident and thus is aggressive towards the environment and a man who is violent and thus aggressive towards his environment. The female brain can't distinguish the one from the other, and this is why women are attracted to criminals, soldiers, murderers, rapists, ex-cons, people currently in prison, all this other, all of the scumbag of the earth. So that's where you're going to get your sperm from. So that you can make a little alpha baby who's going to provide you with free stuff in your old age. I'm so good, I'm not even really sure how I got here, but everything I just said is true. And there is no safe space from it. You can whine, you can cry, you can report me to Anita Sarkeesian. It's still true. Everything I said is still true. Oh, I know how I got here. I'm talking about how women have no self-awareness. And you don't know any, you have no self-awareness of this. Men, you ask men, why are you attracted to young, hot chicks? Because they're the ones who are oppressed for fucking. And what's important about fucking? Oh, you reproduce. Men are perfectly aware that we are attracted to women who are best biologically suited for reproduction. Because genetically speaking, biologically speaking, That's what we're supposed to do. We go out, we find chicks who can reproduce, we give them our sperm, we protect them, we make sure the babies come out, and they're our kids, and our DNA gets passed on. It's what we do. We have self-awareness of this. This reminds me. There's so many things going through my brain right now. I'm going to forget half of them. This reminds me of some long time ago, some chick, I don't remember who she was, she remarked to me that white men are the only group of people who are not offended by these stereotypes about them. And I said, yes, and that's because, number one, stereotypes, pretty much every stereotype about any group of people, it may not be 100% accurate, but where there is smoke, there is fire. Okay? I know it's a stereotype. All black people are really good at basketball. Well, you know what? Most of the good Most of the good, let me rephrase that. Most of the great basketball players are black guys. It's a stereotype. Because there's a shred of truth to it. I know that those of you out there who are social justice warriors and just fucking stupid in general would love to believe that stereotypes do not possess any element of truth. That they're just completely... No. There is an element of truth. And the reason white men are not offended by the stereotypes about us is because we, unlike all the rest of you, if you're not heterosexual white man with a job, then I'm not talking about you. Those of us who are heterosexual white men with jobs, we have self-awareness. We recognize in these stereotypes the elements of truth. And that's how we can laugh at ourselves when it's appropriate, and we cannot get offended by the stereotypes when we don't need to. Also because we have jobs and we have other things to do. All the rest of you who do not fit in the category of heterosexual white man who works for a living, you don't have self-awareness. And that's why you get so offended by stereotypes. Because you think these things are just made up by the patriarchy. You are incapable of recognizing the kernels of truth. Not Linux kernels, but the kernels of truth behind the stereotypes. And of course, you also need a safe space and a trigger warning, and you're fragile. And you know how all of this victim thing... All of this victim thing is just another form of attention whoring. When you say, I've been triggered by this and I need a safe space. Do you realize that all of this is just people needing attention? To announce that you have been triggered by something. If something actually traumatized me to the point that, well, that I was traumatized. I don't really think I've ever actually been traumatized in my life. I can't think of anything that's happened to me that I would say is traumatic. So I don't really have a frame of reference on this, but if I were traumatized, I don't think I would feel a need to announce it to the universe on Twitter in order to get attention and sympathy. And yet every time one of these idiots gets triggered or can't find a safe space. Think, oh, I've been traumatized. I've been triggered. And I have to tell everybody about it. Do you lack the self-awareness to know that you're just attention whoring? Or do you know you're attention whoring and you know that you're attention whoring? You know that you're making all of this up. You know you're just getting triggered and all this other shit because you want attention. The other thing running through my mind, and we're going to now transition back to talking about why 40-year-old fat women with 3 children by 2 different baby daddies can't find anyone to marry them, is there's a guy I know here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. He's on the OK Cupid, and he's a buff, like, working out motherfucker. I mean, this guy's got muscles the size of my body. He's fucking huge. He is, I think he's 36, maybe 37. And he gets probably, I mean, not a lot. And he's not very seldom on OKCupid. At least that's what he tells me. But I see these matches because he shows it to me. So probably about twice a month, average out, about twice a month, he shows me emails he gets from chicks writing to him first and being like, oh, you're so hot. You look so great. There's a, Without exception, the women who are sending messages to a 36-year-old guy who has muscles the size of small planets, they're all over 40 and they're all fat. Self-awareness, girls. Self-fucking-awareness. A 36-year-old guy who can bench press 400 pounds is not interested in a 40-year-old fat woman. You have got to understand that you are not as attractive, intelligent, desirable. I shouldn't even say that. I shouldn't even say intelligent. That's wrong. You are not as sexually attractive to men as you think you are. You might be intelligent. You might be mind-blowingly intelligent. You might be an engineer. You might have a IQ of 130. You might genuinely be a fucking philosopher king. You might be a genius. But you need to understand, again, for the fucking lack of self-awareness that you fucking stupid broads have. You judge men by how much money they have. Because ultimately, it's all about you need the resources, okay? And because you don't have self-awareness, because you don't understand how people operate, because you don't understand men, because you don't understand anything other than yourself, because you're a selfish, narcissistic cunt, you do not understand that men are not impressed by your education, your intelligence, your job. Men, just like you, are biologically programmed, biologically conditioned, biologically destined, however you want to fucking phrase it. Biology says you're going to look for the man that can give you the most free shit. Biology tells men to look for the woman that's going to give them the best babies. When you're older than him and you're fat, that's not you. All right, let's get back to the book. Datanomics. How dating became a lopsided numbers game. I'm on page 83. Oh yeah, this is what set me off, is the first sentence in this paragraph. All right, how far am I fucking going? Oh, I'm going all the way, baby. I go all the way. Last full paragraph on 84 is where I'm going to stop. You would think more men could be faithful to a woman like Carly Hansen. Again, her name has changed, so I don't know why he gave her a last name. Just call her Carly. You, yes, my readers, see, you would think, I don't know how he knows what I would think or what you would think, but the guy who wrote this book, John, whose last name I can't pronounce, John knows it. You would think. Why? Because he's a femisimp and he knows what should be going through your brain. See, you would think more men. See, men just aren't up to standard here. You would think that more men could be faithful to a woman like Carly. Carly is good company. She's drop-dead gorgeous. There's still no pictures. There's no pictures of any of these drop-dead gorgeous women who can't find a boyfriend. Again, I'm telling you, all through this book, he talks about women like this. Oh, she's good company. She's drop-dead gorgeous. And she's a bit of a thrill seeker, too. Quote, I'll be blunt, Carly told me. Quote, I'm into kink. Unquote. Oh, she's into kink. Yes, honey, you and every other fucking 2-cent whore who read fucking 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, you're so into kink. Gosh, why can't more men be faithful to a woman like you? Well, you know what? I don't see a picture of her. How much you want to bet she's fat? How much you want to bet she's ugly? How much you want to bet she has short hair? How much you would want to bet she has tattoos and piercings? Hansen, her fake last name, we can't call her Candy, is 32 years old. That's called hitting the wall. Yes, the wall is real. It's a real thing. 32 years old, you ain't got long. You better get something now because your prospects are going downhill fast, honey. And I know that talking about the wall is racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. Oh, shit, you're right. There's no way in hell I'm going to finish this today. I know, the fucking book was due yesterday. The book is from the library. It was due today. I'm supposed to take the fucking thing back. I can't renew it. God damn it, there's no way. Randy, I got another whole page of notes yet. It's taken 3 podcasts to get through the first fucking page. There's like at least 2 more podcasts after today. Fuck it, I'll just pay the fine. Fucking first world problems. You know, right now there's some 14-year-old girl being raped by some Muslim who practices Islam, which is the religion of peace. And then after he rapes her, he's probably going to have to kill her because she's not a virgin anymore. And here are my first world problems are that the library book is due today and I'm going to get a fucking fine. See, again, self-awareness. Not one of you dumb fucking cunts out there, not one of you 32-year-old, good company, drop-dead gorgeous, into kink women who can't find a fucking boyfriend, none of you have self-awareness. You actually think that you are oppressed and you're suffering and you're held back and all this other shit. You have no way to recognize, no way to realize that you are the most pampered, spoiled human that has ever walked the planet Earth. Fucking first world problems, honey. Alright. Let me see if I can get to the second paragraph here. Hansen, 32, grew up in Michigan. That's another problem. She's from Michigan. Moved to New York City. There's another problem. After college, there's another problem. To work as a television production assistant. There's another problem. Again, she can't figure out why she's single. Okay, I think about Michigan's kind of a joke. Think about New York City, not a joke. College, kind of a joke. Working as a television production assistant, that's a joke. But after leading the New York single girl life for 10 years, in other words, After riding the cock carousel for 10 years, after spreading her legs for anything that would buy her a drink for 10 years, after being a slut and a whore for 10 years, after getting sperm load after sperm load after sperm load shot up inside of her for 10 years, now suddenly she expects a man to marry her and give her free shit for the rest of her life because she's starting to get old and put on weight. Hansen started to wonder whether it was time to move on. Quote, "My best girlfriends, they're all beautiful, wonderful women." Yes, of course they are. Oh, you women are all so beautiful and wonderful. Again, the fucking self-awareness. The complete lack of self-awareness. Again, show me pictures of these girlfriends of yours who are beautiful. Show me their pictures. Quote, "My best girlfriends, they're all beautiful, wonderful women, and we all feel exasperated. Personally, I don't have the ties to the city that some of my girlfriends do. I'm kind of ready for the next step, especially after hearing the stats." Unquote. Manhattan's lopsided demographics helped Hansen make sense of her rocky love life. Quote, "I always assumed I just had bad luck in dating. Before moving to New York, I never would have considered an open relationship. But since I moved to New York, that's what all the guys seem to want." Unquote. One man broached the idea of an open relationship on their third date. Quote, "At least he was honest." Unquote. Another took a more roundabout approach. Quote, "He was always voicing views against marriage or telling me about couples that had open marriages and how successful that was, so I knew," unquote, Hansen said. And it's not as if Hansen has a particularly rigid view of monogamy. Quite the opposite. Quote, "If a guy wasn't ready to commit because he wouldn't be able to have sexual experiences with other people, I'd be totally up for a conversation about bringing someone in occasionally. What I don't want to be is one of many," unquote, she said. So she's riding the cock carousel, but she doesn't want to be one of many. Hansen did not have time for multiple men in her own love life. Sure she didn't. So wait, if she doesn't have time for multiple men in her own love life, how does she know she's into kink? Anyway, even if she were so inclined. Wait. Hansen did not have time for multiple men in her own love life, even if she were so inclined. Work and career took precedence. My work and my career is more important than dating. I can't figure out why I can't find a good man. Once again, self-awareness. Jesus fucking Christ. Once again, women are objects, men are agents. How many times have I talked on this podcast, my own personal life, how many times have I told you the reason I'm not dating a chick right now is because I have not put the fucking effort into it? It's not because of the matriarchy or Obama or Bush or the motherfucking Star Committee or the Illuminati or the alien lizard people that have their secret base underneath Denver International Airport. That's a real conspiracy theory. Look it up on the internet. There are people who actually believe that the planet Earth is controlled by alien lizard men. And their headquarters is underneath Denver International Airport. Not making this up. And the people who believe that vote Democrat. Then none of them are Republicans. They're Democrats. The reason I don't have a girlfriend is because of me. It's because of what I choose to spend my time doing, what I choose to focus on with my life, where I choose to place my energies. It's called self-awareness. Her work and her career took precedent. Well, if your work and your career are more important than finding a boyfriend, you're not going to find a boyfriend. You stupid bitch. Quote, "Every guy I've dated has had a less stable career than me." Again, why are you dating guys that can't hold jobs? Do you have any fucking standards? If this is important, and it sounds like it might be, why? An observation that messes with these meshes, not messes, messes is different, messes what you make in the bathroom, especially after you eat bad Chinese food. An observation that meshes with the scholarly research connecting gender ratios to work ethic. Quote, it's almost like the guys in New York postpone growing up. Unquote. Again, you see, it's the men. She can't find a boyfriend because the men, all the men in New York City, it's okay to generalize about men. You can never generalize about women, of course, because women have holes between their legs and they bleed once a month and they are precious and they are always right and they don't need evidence if they accuse somebody of rape. And if you disagree with a woman, then you are wrong because you've made her uncomfortable and you're racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. That was me dying. That's what happens when you push your voice too hard. I should have stopped, taken a breath, and finished that. But no, I wanted to shove it all out on one breath because I was trying to be all cool and shit. And that's what the fuck happens. I was trying to be an attention whore. I was trying to do something to impress my listeners instead of doing what I should have done. And I paid the price by coughing into the microphone. Do you see how self-awareness works? You guys fucking see how the fucking self-awareness... It's terrifying shit, isn't it? This is why I am the Great One himself. This is why I'm never wrong. This is why I am always right. Because I have self-awareness. When I fuck up, I am aware that I fucked up. What's that line from that Jackson Brown song? God damn it. Do not remind me of my failures. I've not forgotten them. It's something along those lines. Old Jackson Brown is good. If you get his the Best of Jackson Brown album, what the fuck is it called? It's called... The Next Voice You Hear. Has probably some of his very best songs ever on it. Really, really good shit. I've listened to some of his newer albums. They suck balls, man. Yeah. His old stuff is really good. Like, Shape of a Heart is really good. I almost cry every time I hear that song. It's, like, just very masterfully written and performed. It's brilliant. That was some tangenting. How did we get on Jackson Brown songs? Randy, what the fuck was I talking about? Yeah? Okay. Yes, thank you. Guys in New York postponed growing up. Yet again, you see, it's because of men. She can't find... Go! Oh yeah, so thank you. God, it's a good thing she's here, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. See, we can generalize about men. All these guys in New York postponed growing up. But, oh God, you can't generalize about women, because women are precious. It's not her fault that she can't find a man. It's because those men in New York, those boys in New York, just will not grow up. This is interesting. The lopsided dating math also explained the weird sense of entitlement that New York men feel on online dating sites like OkCupid. Quote, so many expect me to go out with them just because they sent me a message. Unquote. Now, I think, and just addressing that right there, and again, disclosure and point of reference, I use OkCupid. I have the site. I have a profile. I'm not on there very much, but I use it. I am a user. I've used it in the past more heavily than I do now. Expecting a woman to go out with you isn't necessarily entitlement. Now, well, I'm not even going to say that. I was going to say after sending one message, having that expectation might be entitlement. But no, actually, it's not entitlement. It's the fact that men understand that shit is a numbers game, and it's like we don't want to waste our time. You know, I'll send a couple of messages back and forth to the chick on OkCupid, and I get to like message number four. I'm going to float the idea of getting together in real life, IRL, for those of you who are on the internet all the fucking time. And if she's not interested, I'm moving on. I don't have time. I don't have time to be your fucking fantasy online internet fucking, you know, emotional tampon. Get the fuck off the internet and do shit in real life. That's what that is about. That's not about a sense of entitlement. That's about the fact that men, real men, are not interested in internet fantasy. Page 86. La la la. Page 86, last full paragraph and next paragraph. Alright, let's read this. Find out what the fuck I'm supposed to be talking about. Page 86, last full paragraph. Obviously, New York City does not turn every single college-educated man into a sex addict. Even Hansen admitted to me... this is why we're reading this. Even Hansen admitted to me that her preference for edgy, artsy types probably has something to do with the high number of players she wound up dating. Jesus fucking Christ, again, honeys. The self-awareness. I only date men who have a college education. I only date men who make more money than me. I only date men who are 6'1" or taller. I only date men who are... How old is she? 32? Come on, fingers, turn the fucking page. Where's this bitch's... 32. So, I only date men who are 35 to 38, and I only date men who are edgy, artsy types. Gee, I can't figure out why her dating pool is so small, and I can't figure out why the men are players. Edgy, artsy types? Again, so he's got the college, he's got the money, he's got the height, and he's edgy and artsy. A guy who fits that description can fuck virtually any woman of his choice. What do you have that's going to make you so much better than every other woman out there that he's going to stop fucking them and be exclusive to you? Tell you what you don't have. You don't have self-awareness. You don't have the ability to ask yourself these questions. She actually emailed me after our breakfast interview to ask if I knew of any single guys I could set her up with. When I suggested a writer friend, a nice-looking guy, but one without an edgy bone in his body, Hansen dismissed him as being too straight-laced. Again, you want this, and you want that, and you want edgy and artsy and more money and college and 6'1", and your dating pool is so fucking tiny, and the only people in your dating pool are out of your league because you're not as good looking as you think you are, and you're closing in on the wall. That said, I don't blame women like Hansen for their own dating woes. No, you don't. That's because you're a femi-simping beta male. Of course you don't blame women for their own problems being able to not find men. It couldn't possibly be their fault. They're being oppressed by the patriarchy. No woman has anything to do with the fact that she can't find a boyfriend. Had nothing to do with her. Why, women are all objects. They're not agents. They have no control over what happens in their life. too many of these seemingly nice, normal guys I interviewed, especially those who had remained single into their 30s and 40s, had dating histories similar to those of Hansen's and DeSanta's ex-boyfriends. My interviews with these men revealed the truth behind the contention of sociologist Erker and Reckoningus, something that I can't pronounce, that men behave differently in different relationship markets. Lopsided gender ratios turn some nice guys into monsters. Isn't it interesting? When men don't want to commit to being monogamous, dating exclusively, and marrying women, when men choose to have sex with multiple people, men are monsters. When women choose to ride the cock carousel, have multiple children by multiple different fathers, receive food stamps, welfare, WIC, Social Security, alimony, and child support, they are strong and independent women who can do anything, you go girl. And you see, all of this is a manifestation of the patriarchal oppression of women. In addition to oppressing women by forcing them to live longer, we also oppress women, we being heterosexual white men who work for a living, we oppress women by forcing them to receive food stamps, welfare, WIC, Social Security, income tax deductions, free birth control, which they still somehow manage to get pregnant anyway, alimony, child support. Yes. All of these things are simply more forms of the oppression which is heaped upon white women from North America. If only they could be glorious free like Muslim girls. Yes. It's okay, though. The Islamic invaders are coming, and soon they will be raping white women in North America the way they rape white women in Europe. And then you'll finally be liberated from the patriarchy. God damn, I was good today. I'm kind of proud of this episode. Oh, trigger warning. There's going to be some offensive stuff in this one.